Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 178, the conclusion. This is part two, Tried Faith. Today is Sunday, December 19th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part one is on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
Think about it. Okay, now one of you people get up there and you preach. And you stay up there and you receive for a year or so, then all of a sudden they say, you know something? We don't like you anymore. Goodbye. Does that wound you? Well, the Bible says you're going to be wounded in the house of your friends. There's always scripture to cover you. Say amen, somebody. Has that got anything to do with running the mission? No. It has to do with the trying of your faith.
Oh, God, what next? What next, Lord? I'm scared every time somebody rattles some keys. They're going to take off. Oh, Lord.
Huh? And you know, there's preachers all over going through the very same thing that I am. But what's that got to do with what God has got you doing, man? Nothing. Now, if you got an enemy, what do you say? I love you. Right? What does that do to the enemy? It gets them thinking. Say amen. Pray for your enemies. It seems like I've acquired a few here in the last 9-10 months. Wonder what happened, huh? But do you know something? If you go on with the Lord, God will bless your ministry. Right in the middle of all of this, God has given us more food than we know what to do with. And after all, that is the cause of the mission, to bring food into this ministry, to give out to people. And that's what I've been called to do. And if it's giving your life and giving up being popular with people, then it is all worth it. Because what is your life anyway? A vapor and a pillar of smoke, and you could drop dead at any moment. So why worry about something that's so easily, you know, dies? Are you hearing this? What would you think of a preacher that would just take off? Huh? No. We are not called preachers, and they're calling me all the time. The reason I'm ministering, it's not easy for me to minister. Maybe somebody doesn't even know what I'm talking about, but you will. Say amen. Whoa. Decisions, decisions, decisions. What'll I ever do after ministering to all of these people? And the very same thing happens to me. Now, I'm not anxious to enter into trials. And I don't want you to be anxious to enter into trials. Don't worry if temptation doesn't come your way today. It'll come. Don't pray that you get laid off so you can have an experience. No, the trials of your faith will come in very many variations. And some are tried each day, and they pray like this in this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. And that prayer is heard constantly. The Lord will come and try you. But you can't hurry him. He's going to give you trials. Your time is coming. Say amen, somebody. Now, I know a fellow that came to me and says, I don't have any trials. I got plenty of money. I got this. I got my wife. I got my kids. I says, you're in a very dangerous situation because you can start taking things for granted. You better pray that the Lord helps you. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this? I need prayer. In my own life right here. Now, I am going to be, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share it with the radio audience, and I'm going to share it with people because I have to get it off my chest. Very shortly, I will be a divorced man. How many knew that already? Good. Now, what do you think of a preacher that gets a divorce? What are you going to do with me? You on the radio audience, what are you going to do with me? Now, I'm on trial. This is the trial of my faith. Now, I'm sitting here and I'm asking you a question. What would you do with a pastor that had a divorce? Kind of spooky. I see rocks coming up over the radio. And I laid awake at night and I thought, well, now this is a trial of my faith. I've been going through this. I don't know how to exactly handle this thing. I've tried. It isn't working. I got a different ministry. My wife has a different ministry. And we're into conflict about this mission and so on like this. And my God, what am I going to do? And I made a decision. What are you people going to do with me? It's almost like I can hear the tar bubbling. I might have to go out of town looking like Chicken Little or Big Bird. Aren't those frightening things? Aren't they? Aren't they? How would you like to get up and preach? And you get up and preach, and you know people know, and they're not receiving from you because you're going through a very traumatic thing in your life. It's getting kind of quiet in here. I mean, what are you thinking? God, don't tell me what you're thinking, okay? And you know, I'm going to ask this question. I'm asking it over the radio. Send your cards and letters. Send them in. You send them in anyway. What do you want to do with me? You listening on the radio, now some of you have sent some very nasty letters. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, they burn my hands when I pick them up. The stamps are scorched when they get here. You know what I mean? What are you going to do with such a pastor? He's been through it quite a bit, I would say. Well, what are you going to do with him? I have to ask that question. I already know what some people have done with me. Huh? And it's not that I have hurt feelings. I'm just wondering how many more. I'd like to take a vote or some kind of thing so I know. What do you do with a pastor that has a divorce? I wonder what we're going to do in the end with pastors that are divorced. Well, according to the Word of God, huh? So many people can quote scriptures over you. They don't know the situation, they never ask you the situation, and I never tell them the situation. Say amen, somebody. Now you got the whole radio audience real deep in thought. What, you mean that guy down there on Oliver Avenue? I mean, what's wrong with that guy? He must be from the pit. It's really a hard decision to make, ain't it? It didn't come overnight. But I've had a lot of helpers since this thing started to happen. Say amen, somebody. How many know when you get into a whole lot of trouble, you can get into a lot of discussion with people? Well, what are you going to do with me? You know, I mean, I'm looking for honest opinions. You know, listening on the radio right now, I know that, man, you're chewing them Frito-Lay potato chips faster than you ever chewed them. Can hardly wait till this is over so you can get on the telephone. My decision comes from seek ye first the kingdom of God. And stay down there in the mission and the work that I've called you to do. And that's why I'm down here today. That's why I've been down here all these months and years. It isn't everybody that's going to agree with you, everybody that wants to be with you in a situation like this. Say amen, somebody. Preachers, in the end, you're going to have mass exoduses from your church, and your faith is going to be tried, and God has put you into a work, and you're going to have to give your life. What is your life? I mean, that's everything that you hold near and dear to yourself. You might have to give those things over. You might have to lose your reputation. You might gain a little bit of character and lose quite a few friends. Say amen, somebody. Might be a Gideon's army out there, you know, that dissipates from 33,000 to 300. But I'll tell you something. It's a mighty scary thing to go that road. How many know that you need forgiveness? Say amen, somebody. What is the thing that people need? What is the thing that Pastor Paul needs? When the thing is all over, what is he going to need? Forgiveness. And mercy. And help. And going on. Why is it that divorces become the unpardonable sin with some people? Say amen, somebody. God. Go ahead. Well, yeah, I know you do. See, but what I'm trying to do, and I'm touching you today, and I'm touching people today, and I'm touching them on the radio by burying my soul here, because there's a lot of people going through the very similar thing that I am. In these last messages that I've had, and they've been pretty pointed, I have had cards and letters and people coming to my office that are in real trouble. And they say, God, what am I going to do? My marriage it's brain dead. It's being kept alive by intravenous feedings from all kinds of people. but it's brain dead. There's nothing coming out. There's no life coming out. There's no conversation. There's no love coming out of it. There's nothing. It's brain dead. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a phony? Are you going to be a hypocrite? What are you going to do? Are you going to give up your ministry? Are you going to die in that thing? See, these are individual decisions that each one of us has to make, aren't they? Don't we each have to make individual decisions in our own lives? And aren't they hard enough without piling all of these different various scriptures on one another? Oh, I can pile them on. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? And who is my mother? Why do you come up with this? Do you love me more than these, Peter? Do you love me more than this? Will you give your life? Will you bear a cross? Will you let the dead bury the dead? Well, you can't do this, and you're not a disciple of mine. I can bring up all the scriptures too. But that God says don't get into vain discussions over the scriptures. But you see what I'm saying right now? These things right now we really have to deal with. In my own particular life, I had to deal with this thing. I have to deal with people and their opinions. And I've had people come from all over the country and confront me, and not very nicely, I might add. But the result of it is this, that either I'm going to be crippled by what people have to say, or I'm going to go on in the kingdom of God. Why be a phony and stand up or minister over the radio and people got this thought in the back of their mind? Get it up front. And I thought to myself, well, here I am, I'm separated and everything, and these papers are going through, but what are people going to do with me? What's there left to talk about when you say, I am divorced? What's there left then to talk about? See what I'm saying? Oh, well, are you telling people they should go get divorced? You'll never be able to minister to married couples again. I said, why? Because I said, I can tell them everything not to do. Isn't that worth something? It's 29 years of married life. Isn't that worth something? I'll be able to tell people what not to do. And after all, if you haven't gone 29 years, what do you got to talk about? Seems like all the experts have been married for 9 months. Or they're not married yet. How many are hearing this? They are experts and they're not even married yet. How many are hearing this? You know what I mean? Brain damage. And you keep the thing alive and there's nothing going in it. And it's a hypocrisy and it's a lie. Oh, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Huh? No, I believe in marriage and I believe people should stay married, but I believe that I do have a message for them on what not to do. Whew. Don't get involved too much in church sometimes, you know what I mean? I mean, if that's what you want. Paul says it, he says, better that you're not married. I'm not saying that get a divorce so you're not married. But I'm saying if you're not married yet and you're planning a young person and going into a ministry that's a dedicated ministry, well, then it's better off that you're not married. I'm talking about people that aren't married yet. See what I'm saying? Oh, God. And, people look at it like, this guy has completely lost it. It's a dilemma, isn't it? You guys know, right? Isn't it a dilemma? I must have spent 6 or 7 months sleeping 2 hours a night. I mean it, 2 hours a night. God, I said, when is this thing? I said, I got to have some rest on this thing. You know what I mean? Ever have something where you had to have rest on it and you couldn't get rest on it? And I said, God, I got to have some rest on this thing. And so the Lord gave me a message. Heavenly rest involves a decision. And I made the decision and I went to sleep. For 3 hours. It's a half hour better. And I was really thankful for it. And I said, God, I've got a decision to make and I've been trying to make this for months and months and months, and who will even listen to me? See, if you don't get things out in the open, People will invent things for you. Say amen. You better get it out in the open. They invent things for you. One time I was ministering, I said, you know, it's kind of like you go into a pizza place, you know, and they have on there, make your own pizza. Oh, I'll have this on it, and I'll have this on it, and I'll have this on it, and I'll have this on it. And at the bottom, they have one great big old pizza. It's called a garbage pizza. And I said, sometimes it's dangerous when you let people make their own pizzas. They tell them, here's the pizza, here's the way it is, and here's my life. This is my life. And you give them, this is my life pizza, and say, this is all we got in the house. You can't make your own pizza. This is exactly what happened in my life. I'm not happy about it. I'm not jumping up and down. But this is what happened. How many think in here that a preacher that gets into a dilemma like this should even go on and preach? Some people think he should just quit and walk away. I've never been told that. Some of the very greatest things have happened to me in this very trying time. The trying of my faith. My faith has been tried till I just, you know, I mean, you know, my tennis shoes are smoking. It's been tried so much. It really has. It has been a trial, and I'm just kind of weary over the whole thing. And I thought, you know what? Why not just be upfront with people and tell them, say, hey, this is where I'm at. It's not a real comfortable position to be in, and I've cried my tears. I mean, buckets of them. You know what I mean? And I've had my nervous fits. And I've had my fears, God knows. Say amen. You know what fear is? I mean, raw fear over making a decision like this. Wow. But I made it. I made my decision. Now I'm going to live with it. And I'm living in a trial right now. Wow. But Pastor Paul, if you do this, everybody. I said, no, they won't, everybody. What do you mean? They'll take a look at this and they'll say, God, I don't want that to happen to me. Say amen. See, it involves your family. It involves your kids. It involves your church. It involves a lot of people. You're not in this thing all by yourself. How many are hearing this? Oh, Pastor Paul, you never should have preached this message. Yes, I have to preach it. I have to tell you where I'm at. I have to get this out of my system. I'm not going to just, you know, stand around and... Solomon says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. I think preachers got to start preaching the truth, even if everybody opposes him. Are you hearing this? And there's a lot of people to oppose you when you start preaching the truth. Truth is, it didn't work. Say amen, somebody. Truth is, it did not work. You know something, people? Does it sound weird to you? Would you really hate me, you listening on the radio audience, if I told you that I have perfect peace finally on this decision? Do you believe that's possible? How many believe that's really possible? I do, because I got it. I don't know why. I don't even know if I deserve peace on the thing, but I do have it. How many are hearing this? Isn't everybody that's going to like you? People are going to hate you. It's really a situation. Let's ask you guys sitting in here right now. Do you think that you could love such a person as myself in a situation like this? How many could just, you know, could take the time to say a prayer for me and to love me in the situation I'm in right now in my life, which is really a hard place? It is. I haven't got any more to say on this thing. I mean, I've been going through the fire with the thing, and if I come up, you know, empty-handed on it, at least I've obeyed the Lord in what I had to do here, and that's stay down here in this mission. Stay down here in this mission. I made a choice to stay down in here. versus not stand down in here. There's so much at stake down here, and there's so many people dependent upon what's going on down here. And, you know, I've seen so many people turn their back. I mean, won't even talk to me on this thing. I kind of wondered to myself, I thought, why is it? And I'm not boo-hooing the fact. I'm saying, why is it that we don't have enough love to say, you know what, I'll be praying for you, I'll be standing with you in your decision or whatever like that. God, I have ministered to thousands through tape ministries, through evangelism, through all kinds of things and all kinds of problems. And in marital things, when they come to me over and over and over again, I say, well, now I've ministered everything I can. The decision is up to you. The decision is up to you. Well, I want you to think about this message today. You know, and it almost made people mad at me. You know, I have peace in this thing finally, and I have the joy of the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm not happy about the situation, but I have a joy. And it's because I'm obeying the Lord and staying in my work right here. And I just hope to God this message helps some people out there, preachers out there that are in real hard places and in their own personal ministries. Well, I'm on trial. More can I say? I'm on trial right here. Everything that I say and everything that I do will be held against me. People are going to pull out. People are going to do this. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. Well, what do? You go on. You go. The message I had a week ago was go to the now. What does that mean? That means go to the right now, what God has got you to do right now. Say amen, somebody. Oh, my God. Go to the now. I haven't really got any leaves to hide behind anymore. It's stripped. It's in the winter of my ministry now, and I'm just sitting up in this great big old fruit tree, and there's no leaves up there. It's in the winter of the situation. See? And in these decisions that I've come to, and I've been through with a lot of people, I say, what do you think of so-and-so, they'd ask me. And I say, well, I said, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. In the same manner that ye meted out, so shall it be met out to you. And I said, if you show mercy, you receive mercy. And I said, and I'm talking about somebody else, and now here I am in the same similar situation. Huh? There's only one thing I can do, and that's continue on doing the work of the Lord right where I'm at right now. There's only one thing I can do. I mean, and that is what I'm going to do with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. Say amen, somebody. Really, it's the truth. Really, it's the truth. What do you think God is going to do with me? He's going to give me some more trials. Won't he? You know what? It's the trying of your faith. If it's not tried, you don't even know if it's faith. I don't know of too many other people that have been through, I mean, such a hellish situation as I've been through, and not even open their mouths. And it's the grace of God that's helped me to keep my mouth shut. I don't have a sight. My side is the Lord Jesus Christ. That I know the Lord is going to see me through this trouble and affliction and sorrow and pain and tribulation and trial, and that he'll work it out for good for somebody that's in a very similar situation. Whew! Not a very happy message, but yet, I'll tell you one thing right now, this preacher is going to go on. Somehow, some way, I don't know how God is going to work it in my life, but I'm going to go on. Say amen, somebody. God, I really need you guys' prayer and support. Thank you. You know, all the people that are really near to me and dear to me, all my kids, my board members and everything, know exactly what I went through with this thing. Right? Right, Mick and Don and all that. And I came to the conclusion with help from friends and different people that know my situation. So where you got to go? I quit this ministry for 3 months last summer. It was the hardest time of my whole life. And you know, I've thought about this thing. If I could have it any other way, I would. Well, that's where I'm at today, and I appreciate you guys being here and listening to my story. It's confession time. I was on trial. This is your life. God, I have had everybody coming to me. I've had such hellish things happen, I can't tell you. But you know what? It's really strengthened me. Because I know that no one can be saved but by the grace of God. I really know that now, if I know anything. Isn't that right? You know, you can't look at your situations and you can't live in that, because it's like sleepwalking. I sleepwalked for all summer. I really did. I was walking in my sleep. I was walking in a nightmare. I wasn't worth anything. I came down here. I ran the mission. I didn't preach. I was brain dead. I walked around. I couldn't get myself together. You ever been in a place in your life where you couldn't pull it together? I mean, I functioned and I did everything and I looked all right, but I just didn't have it together. It wasn't me. And I would do the thing. I would do this and I would do that and I would say this and I would say that. But it just wasn't me. I was walking around dead. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't counseling anybody. I wasn't talking to anybody. Everything was a strain. It was like when I would talk, I would hear myself talk. And then I would think, well, now what did I say? Because I was talking in my sleep. And the minute that I decided to come back here and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I got free. That was like 6-7 months ago. I came back in here and I got totally free, and I thought, God, this is where I belong. I'm never going to do this. I'm not going to run out on God. I'm not going to quit my ministry. I'm not going to do any of those things. Because see, I've been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've been called to be witnesses for him too. Say amen, somebody. Okay, I was on the witness stand today, and I appreciate you guys listening to my story here. Because I needed to be told. You know what I mean? Just for my own personal thing. And I think for you too, needs to be told. Sometimes we have to pray for divine intervention so we got holy guts. It's going to take holy guts to go through things. Sometimes it does. It takes holy guts to go through things. And here, some of you people already knew about my situation, and you're here. You know what I mean? And it says in the Bible that love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. See, and all these things like that, see. And that's where we're going to come to in this end time ministry, is really receiving people where they're at, or you don't receive them at all. I mean, I'm looking at people down here that I have to receive them right where they're at. Say, man, I mean, this is not an easy suburban ministry. We're talking North Side with a lot of trials down here, and a lot of things that are happening to folks, and a lot of political things that are happening to folks, and a lot of family situations that are happening to folks. And it's going to take a real dedicated person to come in here and run a mission like this and keep it going and to see the needs of the people and to really be so involved that you're willing to give up your whole life to stay right there and do the job. Jesus, I want to thank you for these people that are in here today. I ask that you would bless them. Keep each one of them, Lord God. Use them for your glory. I thank you for this time that I was on trial, that you used me, Lord, in this way. And I thank you, Lord, for me being able to bear myself here in front of all these people and just to sit, put that up front up there and get that off my chest. God, I thank you for the listeners that did stay here today and listen to this. God bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.